Stop punishing yourself with bland, chalky protein shakes and fuel your fitness with the best protein in the game at GNC. We've got the hottest brands and flavors that legit taste like cookies, your favorite cereal, indulgent desserts, and more. It's on at GNC.
The MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Game Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog's offering a ton of markets this week for the PGA Championship that you cannot find anywhere else. So sign up with promo code SGPN to claim your special pick, plus first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Underdog Fantasy, promo code SGPN. And welcome, everybody, to the MLB Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Game Podcast Network. It is currently Friday afternoon, roughly 5:40 p.m. Eastern Time on May 17th. I'm your host for this episode, Scott Reichel, once again joined by Lante. And together, we're going to preview the Saturday games for baseball. Lante, how's it going with you?
Scott, my man, what's up? Doing pretty good. Yeah, got some good series going on. Seen a gem pitched by Paul Skenes today. So, yeah, man, all is well. Looking forward to breaking in the card. Hope you're doing well also.
Yeah, doing pretty well. For the most part, though, I have to at least, I'd say, call out what you just said for a little bit, because a gem might be an understatement on whatever the hell Skenes did this afternoon, because it was his first ever road start. We know his first start as a whole was canceled out basically by a rain delay, and it looked like he was pitching decently. Then he faced off against the Cubs and Wrigley and decided to strike out the first seven batters. Just casually, just struck out the first seven batters, give up no hits, six innings, no hits, 11 strikeouts. So, yeah, I don't even know what to describe what we just saw, but it was some type of cross between, I don't even know, like Nolan Ryan and young Kerry Wood. Like, I don't know what you want me to tell you, but that was something, and the Cubs never stood a chance. So, yeah, Skenes was great. We'll see how he ends up looking for the rest of his rookie season. I saw his rookie of the year odds plummeted, basically cut in half after one outing. So we'll see what actually happens there. But Skenes was really, really, really good. And on the other hand, Kyle Hendricks arguably shouldn't be in the league. That's basically the main takeaways from that game. But, yeah, anything else you want to talk about for the last couple of days? Just any takeaways?
Nah, man. Not really. I think you pretty much hit it on the head today. Pretty much stole any headline that was going on this week. It was pretty much a blah week. I mean, not a ton going on outside of, you know, Skenes pitching well today. I think it's been pretty much a wash of a week for as far as excitement goes. Just, you know, the bad teams are forming. I think your take on the Oakland A's is kind of turning into a really good one. They've lost 8 of 10. Yeah, man, and I think everything is just pretty much going as expected. So nothing really big to take away other than Skenes' debut. I mean, not debut, but other than Skenes' big day today.
It's his road debut, but still. But, yeah, Oakland was my main call from last week. I forgot how many in a row they lost at that point. I think it was like three. And I basically just said this team's about to fall off a cliff. And they ended up winning one game. They had a crazy doubleheader against the Rangers the next day. So I remember that they split the first two they split the doubleheader there. They almost had a shot to win the late game, but they ended up losing that one. And they haven't won since. I'm pretty sure they've lost, or maybe they beat Seattle once, but I think they've lost pretty much, what is it, 10 of their last 12, and 8 of the 10 have been by multiple runs. They've been awful. We'll talk about Oakland in a second. They got swept by Houston over the last couple days. They scored a total of 4 runs in their last 4 games combined. So Oakland is a mess, but that was expected. It's what we thought that would be the entire season. I wasn't exactly reinventing the wheel with that prediction. But the Oakland being good phase, I think we'd agree, was a phase, and it's been long over because this team is really, really bad. But I'll talk about them in a second. Before we get into any of the actual previews for the Saturday games, do want to remind everybody that we have a big, mega Memorial Day merch sale. 15% off everything in the merch store. Promo code SGPN May. We got great stuff for the actual MLB Gambling Podcast. We have shirts, sweatshirts, all I could think of, available on the SGPN merch store. So check that out. And once again, use the promo code SGPN May for 15% off everything in the store. Anyway, now it's time to get into the actual games for Saturday. Going to go in chronological order here, starting off with the White Sox taking on the Yankees. So for this matchup, the Yankees, of course, are massive favorites. You have them being around minus 280. White Sox are around plus 230. Yankees have been rolling, ended up sweeping the Twins. What else is new? The Yankees have owned the Twins for about 20 years, but they ended up winning every game by 4-plus runs in that series. You have Heel on the mound for the Yankees, has been very good, 4-1 with a 2.51 ERA. And you have Brad Keller pitching for the White Sox, has been decent so far this season. 2.84 ERA, 0-1 record. Long time I'm going to ask you, because the White Sox have also been decent recently.
Yeah.
That again faced off against the Nationals, so not exactly the greatest competition. But I feel like the argument is, do you either want the White Sox in any capacity or Yankees minus 1.5? Because you're definitely not going to take the minus 280. So what do you like for this game?
Yeah, I'll probably just go with the Yankees 1.5. But I like both team totals. I like the White Sox team total under. I like the Yankees team total over. The White Sox, like you mentioned, they've won 6 of their last 8. But the Yankees have been on another level. I mean, the Twins thing is literally getting out of hand. They won 4 in a row, won 8 of their last 10. In that 10 game span, they're scoring 5.8 runs per 9. They're hitting, you know, nearly 284 on 10 hits. So really hitting the ball. Keller's second start of the year, I mean, he wasn't horrible. But that was against St. Louis, which is definitely one of the bottom tier offenses. So this is a step up in class for him. I think Gill is going to be able to literally strike out a lot of batters here. He's been 6 innings in 3 straight. So if you want to look at, you know, maybe a total outs prop, he's had 1 earned run or less in 4 of his last 5, not allowing a lot of contact, 3 hits or less in those 4 games. White Sox really putrid on the road as far as offensively, 204, offensively scoring 2.7 runs per 9. So I think it's a good place to take the Yankees team total over and take the White Sox team total under. If you want to go first 5, team total under for the White Sox, I don't hate that either. But, I mean, the Yankees bullpen has been good all year, so I don't think you have to worry about it. But if you want to just play the safe side, White Sox team total under will be my favorite play. But I also like the Yankees team total over as well.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Clay Holmes is the only reliever, or I should say closer, to not allow a run yet, or at least an earned run. His ERA is still 0. So he's been great. Aaron Judge remembered it and hit the ball, which is always fun. He killed Minnesota. Soto's been slumping, but that's the beauty of having two superstars, that if one of them is not doing well, the other one can pick up the slack. And it seems like the Yankees offense, Volpe especially, has kind of picked it up recently. And we'll see if that carries over into this game. I think I have to agree. I know the White Sox have been playing better baseball lately, but the Yankees are definitely a step up in class. And you're looking at Heel being very solid this season. And I think you're looking at maybe if you want to be tempted by an under 8.5, I don't mind that. Yeah, for the total, yeah. I see mostly 8s, but there is an 8.5 out there on FanDuel, so I don't mind the under there. I see the Yankees winning like 5-2, 6-2, something like that. But I think at the end of the day, the Yankees just have too much firepower, and the White Sox really aren't the greatest offense. Even with that National Series, they were mostly getting by on pitching. The offense is still not exactly doing much on a regular basis, so I like the Yankees as well, probably on the minus 1.5. Moving on to the next game, you have the Pirates taking on the Cubs. You have Falter taking on Imanaga. And for this one, the Cubs are minus 195. The Pirates are plus 165. For the over-under, I see 8 flat. Is there any reason not to blindly back Imanaga, who's 5-0 with a 0.96 ERA?
None at all. Don't want to reinvent the wheel. You know, Chicago took 2 of 3 in May series. They lost today, but, you know, that was against Skeens.
Hendricks on the mound. It doesn't count.
Yeah, you're right. But all 3 of those games went over. So I like the over here. So I lean to that over. You said it's 8, right?
I see 8 flat.
Yeah, so I like the 8 going over. Thursday's meeting went over. I think today either pushed or went over. I'm not sure. So that should be like 4 straight overs.
Well, it was 9-3, so it definitely went over.
Oh, okay, yeah. So the last I seen, it was just 6-0. So yeah, I didn't get
it. It was 9-3.
Oh yeah, so that's 4 straight overs. So I like the over here. 8 of their last 10 meetings before today, so I guess that would be 9 of 11 have went over. Chicago really hits the ball well against lefties, 264. Pittsburgh's average versus lefties in the league. So Imanaga should have some success here. Pittsburgh's bullpen also has been horrible in the last 10 games. 6.7 runs per 9, ERA nearly of 6. I mean, I think Imanaga's going to shut him down. I mean, we saw what he did to elite offenses, and Pittsburgh is far from that. So I have no intentions of reinventing the wheel here, Scott, man. So I like the Cubs. I lean over 8, maybe, but I mean, I don't love it, but I'd much rather have the Cubs first 5 on the, like, a reverse run, like maybe minus 1 and get some plus money on that.
Yeah, I see minus 1.5 for the full game is at plus 118. Just sign me up. I'm not going to turn that down. I get the argument is of the home team, so they might be losing an at-bat there in the 9th inning, but you're assuming the Cubs will be leading after 5. probably leading after 7 or 8. And at that point, I feel like Falter has been better recently, but he's not exactly known as being a great pitcher. And he has been a lot better at home than on the road this season. So with that being the case, I think the Cubs bounce back. Imanaga has been great. Give me the Cubs winning this game comfortably. -1.5, though, with Imanaga against the Pirates offense at +118. I think it's a hell of a deal. So I'll take that. Anytime you can get plus money in Imanaga, I think you got to take it at this point. Anything else you want to add on this game, or should we move on?
No, we can move on.
Cool. Moving on to an AL East matchup, you have the Rays taking on the Blue Jays. For this one, you have the Blue Jays being favorites here, as they're around -135. The Rays are +115. Over-under in this game is set at around 7.5 market wide. You have Gausman on the mound for Toronto, who's been a bit underwhelming this season with a 4.95 ERA. As for Eflin, he has been underwhelming, but not as bad as Gausman, as he is currently 3-4 with a 3.91 ERA. Tampa's 1-over. They're 1-under on the road. Toronto's 4-under, but they're 500 at home. Both teams pretty underwhelming so far this season, but I am going to ask you, do you think it's a bit weird that Toronto's -135? I can understand that Eflin's road numbers are worse than his home numbers, as he has a 4.88 ERA on the road. He has allowed less than a 4 earned in 3 straight outings, but I do want to ask you, because 135 between two teams that look pretty similar record-wise seems a bit steep with Gausman's numbers. Do you think this price is too expensive? Because I feel like Toronto should be like -120.
Yeah, I would think, yeah, -115 to the -120 range would it be the perfect, you know, line. So these are two things that I really want to stay away from. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
I'm leaning towards the over, though. 9 of the last 10 meetings have went over. Toronto played on the road 3 of the last 4 series, so maybe they're getting home. They can kind of get the offense going. If you look at their last 10 game, like metric-wise, they're pretty much the same team, which is, you know, where the line should be, you know, -115, -120, like you said. So I think we're getting a little bit of value with Tampa. But I do like Gausman, the way he's been going the last few games. I mean, it's 3 straight Ws, 1 earned run or less than 4 or 5. He was not good in his last start, though. 6 earned runs on 10 hits in 3 innings pitch. He did shut down Tampa in opening day, but again, those are two totally different teams right now. The only thing that's keeping me away from Tampa, Scott, is their bullpen. I mean, their bullpen has been – I'm sorry. The only thing that's keeping me off of Toronto is, you know, their bullpen has been horrible. You know,
Tampa's bullpen hasn't been good either, but it has gotten better over the last couple
years. Yeah, the last 10, they've been lights out. The last 10, they've been lights out. But over that last 10, Toronto's been horrible. 5.57 ERA, 6.68 runs per 9. So I was going to lean to Toronto full game, but I can't do it. I'm going to go with the over instead.
I think I'm going to agree with the over because I think 7.5 is too low. I can't take Toronto. Even though Tampa, I do acknowledge, has been a bit of a psycho team this season,
yeah,
the price is just too big. I mentioned it before. 135, I think, is nuts. I think these teams are extremely comparable. So that being the case, both pitchers we've seen have better years previously. So they're kind of slumping a bit. Eflin's numbers are technically better, but I mentioned before he's worse on the road. I just think this price is too big at 135. So I think based on value, if you're going to give me a coin flip game, I'll take +115. But I think that the under is definitely not the way to go about this game. I'm going to lean over. I think Eflin and Gausman might give up a couple runs, get the bullpens involved. Yeah. Who knows what happens? Maybe Tampa team total over. But I do think the price is off in this game. So give me Tampa for the value. Moving on to the next game, you have the Rockies taking on the Giants. For this game, the Giants are -195. Rockies are +165. For the over-under, you can find 7.5. You have Hicks taking on Blatch in this outing. And Hicks has been very good this season, 3-1, 2.44 ERA. Blatch is 1-1 with a 3 ERA. Lante, I'm going to ask you, because Hicks has been really good this season. Blatch hasn't really pitched that much, but he's been okay. The question is, are you blindly tempted to take +165 with a team that's won 7 straight games?
If that team wasn't the Colorado Rockies, sure. Yeah, I would. I think they've kind of hit their level, averaging 6 runs per game in that 7-game winning streak. 6 of those wins were by 2-plus runs. So they're not just getting, you know, by little. But San Francisco's been a bit inconsistent offensively, a little bit too inconsistent for my liking, especially not to latest price. But I think Colorado, I think they come back to earth here. Blatches went 4 innings. He had 4 innings pitched, allowing 4 earned runs on 8 hits. In the last meeting that they faced off against each other, he does pitch to contact, not a high K rate. So San Francisco could put bat to ball. He has allowed 4+ in 4 of his last 5 starts, so not good at all. Hicks, you mentioned, I mean, I think we got the better pitcher. He just doesn't get a lot of run support. He gave up 3 in his last start versus Colorado. San Francisco bats pretty well against lefties. Not great, but they hit 240 overall at home. Colorado bullpen has been lights out in the last 10 games, so 1.53 runs per 9 with an ERA of 1.27. So San Francisco going to have to get him early. I think they can jump on Blatch early. I'll lean to the San Francisco run line, but I don't love it because of the way the offense is going. But I do think they have blowout potential here with Colorado kind of regressing, coming back down to earth.
Yeah, if you do want the Giants run line, you can find +120 if you want that. If you want the Rockies run line, you can find +1.5 and -130. So you have a couple options there. I think I agree with you about the Giants. I probably would consider the first 5 -0.5 because I really don't want the Giants bullpen. And you mentioned the Rockies bullpen being solid as well. So I don't mind the first 5 -0.5. I think Hicks is better, obviously. Rockies winning 7 straight is impressive, but we know this team is still really bad on the road. So I don't mind going with the Giants here at what I think should be a pretty decent price in the first 5 -0.5. Probably -130, if I had to guess, -135. That'd be my guess of what the line might be. So I'll probably take that as my main play for this matchup. Before we get into any of the other games on the Saturday card, do want to remind everybody that we are brought to you by NYRA, and you can bet the second jewel of the Triple Crown with NYRA Bet. Sign up today for a $200 deposit bonus with promo code SGPN200. Join now to claim your $200 deposit bonus just in time for the Preakness at nyrabets.com/SGPN200. Gear up for Black Eyed Susan Day at Pimlico and boost your Preakness bankroll with NYRA Bets. Opt in and bet at least $150 each on Belmont and at the Big A and Pimlico on Friday for a $30 bonus, win or lose. Earn more on the Preakness Stakes. Bet at least $200 each on Belmont at the Big A and Pimlico for a $4 bonus, win or lose. Opt in to win at NYRABets.com. That's not all, though. You can also score big with a 20% bonus on your ticket winnings by hitting exacta on any or all races at Belmont at the Big A on Sunday. So get in and get your bonuses at NYRABets.com. So that's SGPN200. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. The NBA playoffs are here, and our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more interesting. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Playing their pick'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. Make entries of all basketball or mix and match across your favorite sports, including, for example, golf. If you want to look at the PGA Championship, you can also do baseball. You have a lot of different options for your Underdog lineups, but the point is you can win up to 100 times your money and is a ton of fun. Underdog is available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. And they also have a lot of great deals and options for baseball. They have, for example, really anything you can think of. They have half a run in the first inning. They have strikeouts. They have hits, total bases, fantasy score, anything you can think of. A lot of options for baseball to make it more interesting. And Underdog also has a ton of fun promotions. They have bonus cash airdrops, specials, giveaways, and more throughout the NBA playoffs. So make sure to follow Underdog Picks on Twitter. Keep an eye out. Underdog's available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and Canada. They also just launched Champions, their player versus player format in Florida. Sign up with the promo code MLBSGPN to claim your special pick and a first-time deposit bonus, a first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Underdog Fantasy, promo code MLBSGPN. Welcome back, everyone, to the MLB Gambling Podcast. Just finished going through the first couple games on the Saturday card. Now it's time to move on to the actual games for the remaining games, I should say, for Saturday. So the last game we talked about was the matchup between the Rockies and the Giants. Now it's time to move on to the Mariners against the Orioles. For this game, you have the Mariners being a dog here. No surprise, as we know the Orioles, of course, are still a very good team, especially at home. But you're looking at the Orioles being do you see a line on this one? Because I see undecided. Castillo's on the mound, but shopping around, I do see one line. I don't know if it's accurate or not.
Yeah, I see -110.
I see roughly -110 Baltimore, -106 for Seattle. So
yeah, just
technically
don't see a
Baltimore's a favorite, but you don't know who's pitching. We know that Castillo this season has been a bit underwhelming, 4-5 with a 3.31 ERA, but he has been better recently. Lonte, I'm going to ask you, though, with Castillo's current form and with him being better on the road, 2.92 ERA, he has allowed less than 3 earned in, let me actually just pull this up, 5 in a lot of starts in a row. sorry, just finding the exact number here. One, two, three, four. Six straight starts, allowing less than three earned. So I'm going to ask you basically a pick 'em line. Baltimore technically a slight favorite. Do you want Seattle or do you want Baltimore?
Yeah, I'm going to take Baltimore, depending on who's pitching. But I think Seattle's a little bit too inconsistent, even with Castillo on the mound. I mean, offensively, they just can't score. If you just look at their last seven games, you got just one run, eight runs, one run, eight runs, six runs, two runs, and then they have four runs. So no consistency at all. They strike out a lot. So depending on who's pitching, I mean, you probably can just blind bet there at K-Prop. Baltimore's won 7 of 10. They're playing a third straight home series, so they're pretty comfortable there. 15-9 at home, like you mentioned. And you know, despite their record, the offense has not been good for Baltimore. I mean, 225 in their last 10. But the bullpen is lights out, so they've been lights out in the last 10. Seattle's not so much. So if Castillo gets roughed up early, give an edge to Baltimore's offense. So I think the offense prevails. Baltimore a little too short, obviously depending on who's pitching, but I'll be on Baltimore in some form or fashion.
Yeah, I just like the under in this game at 7.5. I think the total's too high. You mentioned Seattle's offensive inconsistencies. Baltimore has been a bit underwhelming offensively too. So I think 7.5 is too high. Castillo's been great. So I think you're looking at what should be a lower scoring game. 3-2, 4-2, something like that. But 7.5 feels a bit high to me. Say I'm going to lean to the under, but I probably would lean to Seattle. I just have a hard time of expecting to actually lay or take basically a pick-em number when I don't know who the pitcher is. Castillo, yeah, I do like. He doesn't get much run support, but I have to acknowledge he's been great for the last month. So
yeah, none of the pitchers for Seattle get run support.
Yeah, it's always a big if, but hopefully Castillo can deal, and that way you end up just getting a potential coin flip game at a decent price. But I think that looking at the Mariners is tempting, but I prefer the under if I had to pick my favorite play in this matchup. Moving on to the next game, you have the Mets taking on the Marlins. The total in this game is currently being set at around 7.5. You have Severino taking on Garrett. That's the pitching matchup that I see so far. Garrett, we saw, missed the start of the season, did come back, and that didn't exactly go too well, as he is an 8.44 ERA. I think it was Philly who killed him, I think. And you had Severino this season, who's been pretty good, 2-2 with a 3 ERA. Mets are around minus 135. The Marlins are around plus 115. Lante, I'm going to ask you, because I know the Mets have been struggling recently, but on the other hand, the Marlins are the Marlins. It is a home game for Miami, but nobody goes to their games, so it doesn't exactly count. I like Severino here. I think he's been the better pitcher. I have not seen enough from Garrett. He's made one appearance, and he got rocked. So I'll go with the Mets here. I think they got the better pitcher. They're the better team, and I think that the price is too cheap. So I'll go with the Mets. What say you?
Yeah, you pretty much nailed everything I was going to say. Better pitcher on the mound, better offense for sure. Garrett, he did allow 5 to Philadelphia, like you mentioned. But the only thing that I'm just leaning to the Mets, but I like the under more. I think both offenses may struggle here. The Mets hit 217 versus lefties. They are hitting 261 on the road, though. So, I mean, I don't know how you want to counteract that, but they're hitting 218, the Mets are, in their last 10, Miami 229. Both are around 3.8 runs per nine in that span. So I'm looking for both offenses to struggle. Both bullpens have been okay in the last 10. So I'm looking for a low-scoring game, Scott. I lean to your side, but I just don't trust the Mets enough to lay that big of a number. I mean, it's not, no, it's not as big, but if I'm putting my money behind it, I would rather go first five with Severino. Even though the bullpen's been good, I just don't trust the Mets enough to put my hard-earned money on them for a full game. So I lean first five. Love the under 7.5, though. Do you still see 7.5?
Yeah, I see 7.5 market wide.
Yeah, so I like 7.5 under.
So I will point out, though, the Mets are 3 under right now, but they are 1 over on the road. Miami is 6-17 at home, so they're basically the same at home compared to on the road. So, yeah, I'll lean to Severino, and I will lean to the under as well. Moving on to the next game, you have another NL East matchup between the Nationals and the Phillies. For this one, you have Gore pitching against Sanchez. Phillies around minus 175. We know that their record is insane. Best record in the league, I believe, at 31-14. The Nationals were above 500 for about a day. It was a glorious day, and then they fell off a cliff again. And now they're 2 under. But you're looking at the Nationals getting plus 150. For the over-under in this game, you can find 8 or 7.5, depending on where you shop. Lante, if I was going to pick a Nationals pitcher that I probably trust, it would be Gore. So I do want to ask you, do you think there's value on Washington at plus 150, plus 160, or do you prefer Philly because they're just that good?
Yeah, I mean, I like Like Gore. Yeah, he's a North Carolina guy, man. Seen him pitch a lot in high school. He's really good. He just doesn't get a lot of run support. You know, despite his record, he's pitched well. I mean, ERA of two earned runs or less in four straight starts. He gave up only two in the April start versus Philly. So the familiarity's there. He had six Ks as well. And if I'm not mistaken, I think that is when the Phillies started their run. Yeah, so they were playing well at that time. And I think Philly, they don't hit lefties well. Well, they do hit lefties well, but, you know, the familiarity factor is there. So I think Gore should be able to, you know, withstand some of the offense that they had. But their offense, Philadelphia, has been on fire, 6.5 runs in the last 10. But Washington, this is Washington's third straight road series. They're hitting 198 in their last 10, so I want to see a little bit more offensively from them. So if Gore can hold it down, he does pitch to contact a lot, which is bad news against this lineup, but I do think he can withstand, you know, a blow from them. So if he comes out and he settles in early, I think it'll be a long night for the Phillies. So I like the dog here, and I'll lean to the over as well, thinking that both teams offensively can get some runs up. I think the Nats offense is going to come on late. If you want to do a first five for the Phillies, of course, they've been on that monster run and then the full game for Washington. I'm pretty sure that has a decent payout because Washington has, like, I'm pretty sure their top three in comeback wins. So they usually start off slow. But with Gore on the mound, you know, he might give up a home run or two early, and then you kind of can get back in with Washington. So I'm liking Washington in that full game at plus 160.
Yeah, it feels like the price is too big. Sanchez, though, has been very good at home this season, as he does have a 1.88 ERA at home. So I probably would be tempted by the first five under in this game, just trusting both pitchers. I don't actually mind Washington early in this game because I definitely don't want Washington's bullpen. So I do think you're looking at Gore pitching pretty well. The issue is he can't hold runners on.
Yeah, he can't.
He's like the modern day John Lester because he's a lefty. You just can't hold runners on. But yeah, I do think Philly can steal some bases. So if you want to look for anybody with speed on that team, you might want to consider taking some stolen base props. But for this one, I'll lean to the Nationals first five. I don't want to trust the bullpen, but I do trust Gore. So I am going to go with the Nationals there early in that game. Moving on to the next matchup, you have a game between the Twins and the Guardians. You have Ober pitching against Logan Allen. For this number, I see 7.5 as the total in this game. And for the actual money line, I do see the Twins as slight favorites around minus 112, and I see Cleveland's around minus 104. I'm not sure if it's actually confirmed or not that Logan Allen's going to start. I see some mixed, say, either undecideds or Allen being listed. So,
yeah, I see a lot of undecideds.
So I'm not sure if he's going to be able to pitch or not. For the sake of this, we'll assume it's Logan Allen because he was awful, but then he was really good on Sunday as he went six innings of scoreless pitching against the White Sox. So he's not injured. He should be fine. So let's assume for the sake of it that Allen's going to pitch. Lante, we saw the Twins basically no-show an entire home series against the Yankees. The Guardians, though, we know peaked early. They've been kind of treading water. But Allen, besides the last start against the White Sox, has been awful so far this season. Where do you want to go for this one? Because the Twins are slight favorites, but it's basically a pick'em.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm the same thing. I think both of these teams are mirror images of each other. So I usually just take whoever's the dog, but obviously we can't take a dog in this matchup. I'll lean
technically it'd be Cleveland. Technically, yeah, at minus 104.
Yeah, so I would lean to Cleveland, but they are returning home from two series on the road. That's, you know, an angle I usually look to fade. But I like the under, man. I like the under 7.5. Seven of the last 10 meetings have went under. All three in their April series have went under. The combined runs in those three games, you know what that was, Scott, for both teams, combined runs?
I'm assuming there was a couple of 2-1s or 1-0s in there. So I'm going to say 7 combined runs.
13.
Okay.
Which is pretty much
I overdid it. Okay, fair enough.
Which is pretty much average. The average total was like 7.8, which is, you know, 7.5. So I kind of get where you're not getting a ton of value. But I do think Minnesota, they've one earned run or less in three straight games. They've scoreless in their last two. They also under in four straight. Cleveland's under in four of their last five. Both hitting under 215, I'm sorry. Minnesota does hit better on the road. But again, I mean, with the familiarity between these two, I think you have to look at the under here. Maybe a first five under, depending on if Allen's going or not. But Ober has been really good, man. 1.8 ERA, two earned runs of less than four of his last five. He's actually dominated Cleveland in his last three starts. No earned runs in 18 innings pitched. So he's been pitching well for them. So I'm gonna lean with Minnesota. I know I said Cleveland earlier. I've met Minnesota. I'm gonna lean with Minnesota here. Depending on who Cleveland has on the mound, but I love the under here. I think the under is a slam dunk. First five in full game.
Yeah, so I at least want to acknowledge that it does seem like Ober's numbers don't exactly suggest how good he's been, because the first start of the season, he got absolutely shelled. He went 1-3, give up 8 runs against the Royals. Since that first outing, he has pitched 41 2/3 innings. He has an ERA of 2.16. He's been great. Just simply put. So I'll go with Ober in this one. Twins have also been good in his starts. If you're looking at the Twins' record, they've won 4 of his last 5. So I'm going to go with Ober here. I know Allen was good in his last outing. The White Sox might be a fake baseball team, but still, it's a good performance. But he's been awful for the most part. So if you want to give me the Twins, who I do think have the better starting pitcher, yes, they were really bad against the Yankees. It might be some voodoo stuff, because the Yankees have owned them for 20 years. I don't know what the story is, but I'm going to lean to Minnesota here. Better pitcher, that's good enough for me, and I do think that this price is cheaper at -112. So I am going to go with the Twins in this one. Moving on to the next matchup, you have the Brewers taking on the Astros. The Astros have been in good form recently, and you have Houston being around a -150 favorite, as you have Milwaukee being around +130. You have Verlander against Wilson. Verlander 2-1, 3.38 ERA. Wilson 2-1, 2.65 ERA. Wilson did have to battle a bit against the Cardinals in his last start on Sunday. The bullpen ended up blowing the game anyway. But the point is, Wilson was kind of up and down, and he had to get out of a lot of jams. Houston's been good recently, but they faced off against Oakland, which doesn't really count. So I'm going to ask you, Lante, do you think 150 is fair, even though these records are nowhere near each other, and definitely Milwaukee has the better record?
Yeah, I think it's pretty much fair, so I'll stay away from that. I like the over 8.5. Milwaukee's over in 7 of their last 10. Houston 6 of their last 10. I know Verlander's been settling in. He gave up 7 to the Yankees, but like we mentioned earlier, the Yankees been on fire. He did bounce back and shut down Detroit in 7 innings pitch, had 8 Ks. Both teams are hitting the ball really well. They're above 265 in their last 10, 11.1 combined runs per 9 in that span for these guys. Milwaukee's offense has been really good, 5-plus runs in 6 of the last 10. And Houston's offense has been kind of fluctuating, but at home, they're much better. They usually hit better when Verlander's on the mound as well, which is ironic. But I think we see both teams score here, so I like the over 8.5. I think the number is pretty fair. 150, 155 is pretty fair for Houston.
I think I'm just going to go with Houston first five in this game, probably -0.5 run. I get the argument might be, well, you know, Houston offensively is a bit up and down, but I have to at least point out that Wilson, his last couple outings, has been really underwhelming with his command. Against the Cardinals, he only went 4 innings, gave up 5 hits, and walked 5 guys. So he only gave up 2 runs, but a bunch of guys were on base. Against the Royals, they'd start prior, 6 innings of 1 hit, no run ball. Did walk 3 guys, and they lost the game 3-2. Start before that, 6 innings, 1 run with 2 walks and 4 hits against the Rays, and they lost that game 1-0. So even when he pitches well, they don't win these games. He doesn't get much run support, and he has walked at least 2 batters in 4 straight starts. So I don't mind the walks prop for Wilson, because I just think he might be a bit, I'd say, wild at times with his command. So I do think that Verlander will pitch well. I do like Houston at home. They've been in good form. So I'll go with the Astros to get the job done in the first five, -0.5 run there, and what should be close to -110, maybe even money. So I think that fading Wilson, even though Wilson's overall numbers are fine, you look under the hood and there's a lot of stuff not to like about his recent performances. So I'll go with Houston in the first five. Anything else you want to add, or should we move on?
No, that's it.
Cool. Moving on to the – I forgot to mention the total, by the way. Total's at 8.5. I don't know if you have any thoughts on the total there.
I like the over 8.5. I mean, I think both teams will be able to score. They've been hitting the ball really well as of late. I'm expecting Houston to do a much more to damage with what you mentioned about the walks that Wilson's been having. But overall, I just think that we see some runs here.
Yeah, but moving on to the next game, you have the Athletics taking on the Royals. For this one, you have a massive pitching matchup, and the odds reflect it because the Royals are -185. The Athletics are +105. The over-under is set at 8.5. You have Lugo pitching for Kansas City, who's been amazing. 6-1, 1.66 ERA. You have Stripling pitching for Oakland, 1-7 with a 4.98 ERA. Mentioned it before, Oakland's lost 10 of 12. They've lost 8 of those 10 games with multiple runs. They've scored 4 total runs in their last 4 games combined. I'm not taking Oakland. I said this team was about to fall off a cliff, and they've fallen off a cliff. So I'm not going to suddenly expect them to look sharp in the series. I like Kansas City to run one in this game. Of course, as the home team, you should be getting a decent price. But Lugo has been great. No reason to really doubt him. And I think you're looking at a good number. Kansas City -1.5 in this game is +118. Yeah, sign me up. Oakland's in free fall. That's good enough for me. You?
Yeah, I'm going to lean under the 8.5. Is it still 8.5?
Yeah, I see 8.5.
Yeah, I'm leaning under an 8.5. I think, like you mentioned, Lugo's success has been really, really good. Two earned runs or less in 4 straight starts. I'll also be looking at a K prop for him. Anything under 7, I think is fine. He's at 8+ Ks in 3 of those 4 games that he has pitched well in. Oakland's hitting under 200 on the road. Kansas City also hitting 217 at home. So I think we see a rock fight of a game. And Stripling, while, you know, he hasn't been bad. I mean, 2 earned runs in 3 of his 5 in his last 5 starts.
Yeah, they just never give him any run support because he's 1-7.
Right,
but
which goes right into why I like the under. So I think we see a pitching duel here. Maybe even lean first 5 under. But I'm with you. I think Kansas City ultimately comes back and wins by multiple runs. But I do like the under 8.5. I think it's a little bit overvalued. I think we should be hitting like around 7, 7.5.
Yeah, it's a bit ironic though that Kansas City's batting average at home is really not great because they're fourth in the league. They're fourth in the league in runs per home game, which is kind of weird because you kind of have to find that balance. So I guess they walk a lot, if I had to guess. But point is, you're looking at the Royals being the better team. They're solid at home. Lugo's much better. Oakland's in free fall. That's kind of all I need to hear. And give me the plus money for that. Moving on to the next game, you have the Angels taking on the Rangers. For this one, you have an interesting pitching matchup where you have Urania, who I forgot is even, I'd say, capable of starting games in 2024, and Sandoval, who's been really bad too. Urania's been okay, though, 1-3, 3.62 ERA. I believe he was initially a bullpen guy, and they've recently given him a start or two. Sandoval, though, has been around for a while, not any good. Rangers are -140. The Angels are +120. The Rangers, though, were playing some really bad baseball for the last week or so, as they had lost 5 straight, including getting swept against the Rockies and Coors. Then they got buried in the first 2 games against Cleveland, but did win the series finale 4-0. The Angels, we know, are really bad, so nothing else really take away from there. I do think if you're talking about the starting pitchers, they're pretty even, and I don't mean that as a compliment. I think I got to go with Texas, right? Isn't -140 cheap for what's clearly the better team here?
Couldn't agree more. I like the over as well. Both teams losers in 6 of the last 10. I've been trying to stay away from – Texas has been killing me. I faded them early on, and they were, you know, decent, and then I was on them in the middle, after that little portion, and they were horrible, so I've been staying away from them. I mean, both teams have been hitting the ball.
I took 1 under in a Seattle and Texas game with Miller on the mound, and I won. I don't think I've touched Ranger game since.
Yeah, so I haven't touched them in a while. But if you look at both offensive stats, they've been pretty much hitting the ball identically. Like, the stats are identical in the last 10. Both have 5 runs per 9, hitting above 250. Texas offense obviously plays a lot better at home. Both bullpens are below average. Texas is pitiful. So I think we see a load of runs here. I do think 140 is short, though. So give me Texas and the over 9, right? You see 9?
For total, I see, just trying to find the exact number, I see 9 marked away.
Yeah, 9 is good. Love 9.
Cool. Moving on to the next game, you have the Red Sox taking on the Cardinals. For this game, you have a pitching matchup between one really good pitcher and one guy who's a meme on the show. You have Cutter Crawford pitching for the Red Sox, and you have Mikolas pitching for the Cardinals. Red Sox are around -125. You have Mikolas at +105. For the over-under, you have the line being set at 8. Mikolas screwed me, though, last start. I had the Brewers on the money line. They led 3-0 after an inning. Didn't score again, and they lost 4-3.
Yep.
Mikolas threw 40-something pitches in the first inning and somehow still won 6 innings. I don't know how he pulled that off, but congrats to Mikolas for doing that. For the actual game, though, how do I not take Cutter Crawford at -125? That price feels insanely cheap.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it's insanely cheap. I like the over as well. Boston actually is a better road team. They're 12-9 on the road. They hit .246 on 8.7 hits and right around 4.5 runs per 9. St. Louis at home, .229 batting average, but they are hitting .249 in the last 10. So I think they can get some runs if Cutter Crawford is not as good as he's supposed to be and they get to the Boston bullpen. Both pitchers allow a ton of contact. Don't trust Mikolas. So I think both teams will be able to get over that 8. And I'm with you, Scott. I think -123 is the best I see, I think. Yeah, I think that's a little bit too short for the better pitcher on the mound.
Yeah, I do agree about the over, though. St. Louis has been hitting well. Then again, facing off against the Angels helps because they can't pitch.
Absolutely.
I do think the over is worth consideration in that game, too. But the price seems a bit low, especially fading Mikolas. So I don't mind that. Give me the Red Sox and the over in that one. Moving on to the next game, you have the Padres taking on the Braves, and you have Darvish on the mound for San Diego, and you have Bryce Elder pitching for the Braves. Braves are minus 130. The Padres are around plus 110. For the over-under, you can find, trying to find it on the damn board. I see 8.5 market-wide for that game. Elder, we know, has not really been good over the last year and change. As for Darvish, he's been good this season, 2.43 ERA. But we don't exactly trust the Padres because they're a psycho team, and they also got swept by the Rockies at home. So I'm going to ask you, Darvish is the better pitcher, but Elder has been good at home. Two starts at home this season, 12 innings pitched, a 1.5 ERA. Is 152 cheap? Because we know the Braves recently have been very underwhelming offensively. In fact, the unders have been cashing at an insane rate in the Braves games recently.
Yep.
I like the under again, just going by recent trend. But, Lante, what do you think about this game?
Yeah, I love the under. Love Atlanta. Is it 150? You said 150?
I saw 130 for Atlanta.
Okay, yeah. I was about to say they took money. Yeah, I like Atlanta. I got a rule, man. Anything 150 and under, if the Braves are playing at home, I'm betting them. I mean, they're just too good of a team. They haven't been consistent offensively, but just at home, there's just something about that ballpark that just gets them going. And then they got embarrassed by the Cubs, if I'm not mistaken, like a couple nights ago.
They won the first two games via shutout, but they lost the next game 7-1, I mean. So.
Yeah, so San Diego offense, inconsistent. They had five straight unders before going over three times, but they scored seven total points in that span, so they didn't have a lot to do with that, and more so opponent space. And I think that was Colorado as well, because they were like minus 215 or better favorites in those three games, so they didn't have a lot to do with that. Darvish, you mentioned, he hasn't allowed a run in his last 17 innings pitch. He shut down the Dodgers, which was impressive. Let's see him do it again. He's kind of improvement mode for me. Elder's been solid outside of the Dodgers and Philly. Two earned runs or less in three of his last five. But the Padres, they do hit the cover off the ball on the road. They're hitting .281 on the road. I don't know how they just can't win, but there's just something weird with them, man. But I think Atlanta and under is like probably my best play of the card. I think I'm pretty strong on both of those.
Just so you know, the Braves have had less than 9 runs in 19 of their last 20 games. That's not a team total, by the way. I mean, both teams combined have had less than 9 runs in 19 of their last 20 games. Give me the under 8 now.
They've been cashing. Love it.
Yep. Give me and they keep winning. That's the dangerous part. Yep, the Braves' offense has been underwhelming, and they're still 26-14.
And they're going to get rolling soon. They're going to get rolling.
Yeah, there's a couple ways. Probably during the summer months, you'll start seeing Acuna and everyone wake up. But Olsen also, who's been a bit underwhelming this season. But point is, Atlanta keeps winning, and the pitching's been really good. So give me the under in that game. For the actual side, I probably would lean to the Braves. It is a cheap number, but I prefer the under. Why would I fix what isn't broken? Like, I feel like the unders have been a cash cow. I'll keep riding it with Atlanta in this one. Moving on to the next game, you have an interleague matchup between the Tigers and the Diamondbacks. For this one, kind of an interesting interleague matchup because I don't think anybody's going to watch it, but you can potentially make some money on it. So going through the actual game here, you have Flaherty pitching against Gallen, so decent pitching matchup here. Arizona's minus 150. Detroit is plus 130. As for the over-under, you have 8 or 7.5, so shop around depending on what number or what side you actually want for the total. Gallen, though, has been the better pitcher, as he's 5-2 with a 2.86 ERA. Flaherty's been decent, 3.88 ERA, but he gets no run support. He's 0-3.
Zero.
So I guess the question is, do you want to lay 150 with Arizona? Because Gallen at home this season has been stupid. 17 innings pitched, 0.53 ERA. So I'm not going to go against Gallen. That's kind of where I'm at.
Absolutely not. Even since last year, I mean, he's been on a mission. I think you could even go back to like 2 years ago. So maybe the past like 2.5 years.
He's always been great at home. The road numbers are usually a bit iffy.
Yeah, he's been a lights out. And the offense for Arizona has been inconsistent, but it's a little better lately. They're hitting .241 in their last 10. They've won 7 in their last 10. Flaherty, like you mentioned, he's been good as well. A bunch of strikeouts. He has 6-plus Ks in his last 5 starts.
They just don't score runs for him.
Right, they don't. And he's pitched actually double-digit strikeouts twice in that span. Arizona's bullpen, which has been a problem, they've been a lot better lately, ERA under 3. Detroit bullpen, not so good. So I think 150 is pretty short here, especially with Gallen on the mound. I mean, 2 earned runs or less in 3 of his last 5. Detroit's, you know, dwindling down a little bit. They've lost 7 of 10. I like the under as well. I think can we get a pitcher duel? I'm thinking we see like a 3-2, 3-1 type of game here with Gallen on the mound. So I like the under 7.5 or 8. You said yeah. It's an 8 out there too, right?
I found an 8 out there.
Yeah, love it. That. Love it. Love it.
Yeah, I like the under as well in this game. You're looking at Flaherty's run support, and they've scored less than 4 runs in 3 straight games his behalf. I also forgot to even mention a while back, I think it was a week or two ago, that Flaherty did have a revenge game start against the Cardinals. And he struck out 14 guys in 6 2/3, and they still lost the game. They lost 2-1. That sucks. Yeah. But Flaherty has been solid. So, yeah.
Jacob DeGrom special right there. That's a Jacob DeGrom. Say, that's, yeah, Jacob DeGrom.
It's been wild. Yeah, it's serious DeGrom, Felix Hernandez vibes. But I think for this one, I am going to go with the Diamondbacks, but I do like the under in this game. 4-2, something like that. Pretty ugly, low-scoring game. Moving on to the last game on the card, we have the Reds taking on the Dodgers. So the Dodgers were about minus 300 on the Thursday slate, and they lost. And you saw the Reds end up cashing at around plus 260. For this one, you have Ashcraft pitching against Buehler. Buehler's 0-1, 7.36 ERA as he has come back recently from his longtime injury. Ashcraft's been okay, 3-2 with a 4.12 ERA. Total in this game is set at 8.5. You can find the Dodgers minus 215, Reds plus 180. First glance, Lante, aren't I tempted by the Reds? I just find Buehler to be minus 215, despite not pitching much for the last year. A bit insane to me. Why would I not take the Reds? Ellie stole 4 bases yesterday. I think Ellie's going to have a good game. I don't mind going for the Reds again. Plus 180, fading Buehler. I like Buehler. I know how good he is. But him playing this number after being pretty underwhelming since coming off the IL, I think it's an insane price. I'll take the Reds at plus 180.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't have the heart to face to go against the Dodgers, especially after they've lost 4 of their last 7.
That's kind of why I want to fade them, though, because you're getting a good price but in that game that's slumping.
Yeah, in that span, they've scored 2 or less in 4 of those. So I don't know, man. I think they might be due for a breakout here. Cincinnati, you know, obviously on their third straight road series, 3-4 in that span thus far. So I'm going to go with the over 8.5. I'll stay away, Scott. I don't want to go against you either. I think you have a good read on the Reds, if I'm not mistaken. I know there are a lot of the shows that we do together. You're usually like spot on with the Reds.
My read is to basically have no faith, but to expect them to randomly show up once a week. That's kind of my expectations.
It works. So that's for sure. I don't think you had a good read on them. So I won't go against that. But I do think we see some runs here. I mean, I think the Dodgers can break out of that slump. And you mentioned Buehler being a little bit rusty. So I'm thinking that Cincinnati's offense can wake up as well. Maybe we see a high scoring game, you know, 7-6, 7-5 type of game, hopefully in your favor.
Yeah, I don't mind the over as well. So I'm just going to mention that. I just think 180 is too big of a price. So the value alone, I'll go with Cincinnati. That's going to do it for all the games, though. Now it's time for the Lock and Dog Picks. Before we continue that, do want to announce that we have a new sponsor. We are brought to you by Rhythm. And if you are betting on NBA player props, then you need to download Rhythm because Rhythm gives you a menu of the best player props for every single NBA playoff game, making it easy to go through and find the best props to put your money on in seconds. Rhythm's predictions are backed by over 3 years of data by a team of data scientists and quants that focus on fine-tuning the algorithm to give you the best shot of winning. Rhythm pairs its predictions with player prop graphs so that can help you feel even more confident with your picks, which you can make wherever you normally place your bets or DFS picks. From superstars to bench players, Rhythm has the best player prop lines all backed by AI data without you needing to endlessly scroll a sports book. You're looking at Rhythm also allowing you to create your own custom NBA models so you can get the AI-backed money line, spread, and total picks for every playoff game. Start a free 7-day trial and start winning your NBA player props with Rhythm, available wherever you do get your apps. We're also brought to you by Game Time. I don't know about all of you, but I personally love attending sporting events, especially baseball games, and it's very annoying to actually find a ticketing platform that I could trust, but that changed once I found Game Time, because Game Time is now an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down closer to when it is first pitch. And my favorite feature on the actual platform, besides the last minute deals, is going to be the image of the seat views. Very useful feature that I use all the time. I'm sure you've all been there before where you have gotten a potential seat for a game. You were thrilled to go, and then you notice that there's a pole in front of you, and you realize you spent a bunch of money when you can't actually see anything. That's not going to happen with Game Time because they have a feature that lets you look at the view you would be getting if you would buy a specific ticket. So you know exactly what view you're going to get before you spend your hard-earned money. On top of that, they also do have a lot of great last-minute ticket deals, flash deals, zone deals, easy to find and buy MLB tickets, and they have a lot of options for other events as well in your area. Views from all seats in the venue, they have lowest price guarantee, event cancellation protection, and job loss protection, etc. And a reminder that if you end up using the promo code CFBX after downloading the Game Time app and creating an account, you will save $20 off your first purchase. So terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem code CFBX for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
'Tis the season for summer road trip adventures. And Firestone Complete Auto Care's epic savings event with up to $100 off select services from June 6th to the 9th. Limited time offer, conditions apply. Go to firestonecomplete.com for details.
Welcome back, everyone, to the MLB Gambling Podcast. Just finished going through all of these Saturday games. Now it's time for the lock and dog picks. Longtime, why don't you go first? What is your lock for the show?
Yeah, so I'm going to go with a game that we both liked, and I think I liked it pretty much more emphatically than you, but I like Atlanta, minus 130. I think it's a little bit too short. Darvish has been good, but, you know, I think that Atlanta's going to – I think the offense is going to wake up here. Elder has been solid, especially at home. San Diego 2.9 runs per nine in their last 10. Atlanta's hitting 224 versus righties in their last 10. I think that's going to correct itself. They usually hit righties pretty well. So I like low scoring game. I trust the offense at home for Atlanta to get it done. So give me Atlanta minus 130 for the lock. Dog wise, I'm going to go with another game that we both liked. I'm going to go with the Washington Nationals, Mackenzie Gore on the mound, plus 160. I know Philadelphia's offense has been scary, but I like Mackenzie Gore. The familiarity is there between him and these guys. He has success. I like that Washington always going to fight. We're getting all nine at-bats. So give me Washington as the road dog, I think, plus 160. I like that.
All right. So for my lock on the show, we're going to disagree about the Braves game because I like the under in the game.
No, I like the under. I like the under, too.
Well, I know you mentioned you think the Braves are going to wake up offensively at some point. I'm not sure it's going to be this
runs.
Game.
Five, six runs.
I'm going to go with the under in that game as my lock at 8.5. I just said it before, but I'll say it again. 19 of the last 20 games for Atlanta have had less than 9 runs. I mentioned Elder before has been very good at home this season. Classic home road splits guy. Darvish has been great his last couple outings. He shut down the Dodgers recently. I'm just going to back the trend there. 19 of 20. Give me the under 8.5 in that game as my lock. For my dog, I am going to go to the Cubs offense, and I am going to go with the Cubs -1.5 with Imanaga on the mound, and you can find that price available at around plus 118, I believe. So that's going to be my dog. Simply put, I think the Cubs are going to be thrilled seeing Falter after facing off against Skeens today. They're going to be thrilled that the guy's not throwing 100 miles per hour, and Imanaga's been great. He's the Cy Young favorite. He basically walks into either a scoreless outing or a one-run outing in every single appearance. But the Cubs are still at home. They're still a very good home team. 13-8 at home this season. Pittsburgh had a great offensive game against a batting practice pitcher in Kyle Hendricks. Not going to overreact to it. Give me the Cubs to bounce back and to win this game by multiple runs. But plus 118, backing Imanaga, I think is a play that you have to take almost every time. So I'll go with that as my dog. That's going to wrap it up, though, for this episode. You can find me on Twitter at Rice Show Radio. You can find Alante on Twitter at XXLanteXX. We're also going to do the NBA show. I'm assuming you're going to be on for one of the weekend episodes.
Yeah, one, if not both, depending on what we're going to do. I guess it actually depends on what happens tonight, if I'm not mistaken. But, yeah, I mean, we got a pretty exciting weekend.
Baseball, well, we do have at least one game seven. So we got that in our back pocket.
Yeah, definitely.
Potentially two, maybe three. So we'll see what happens over the next couple days. But either way, point is you can find me on the NBA show and Lante as well. You can find me on the tennis show. You can find me on the WNBA show. Season started. Terrell and I are going to probably do an episode again tonight. So stay tuned for that. But either way, point is until next time, good luck to all of you and all of your bets. Bye, everyone.
If you're listening to this, it means you have access to one of the best online sports books, BetOnline. BetOnline is available in every location across the world. They've been in business for 25 plus years. They got easy deposits, lightning fast payouts, and some of the earliest lines in the business and an unmatched betting menu. Plus, they just started offering weekly cash bonuses with no rollover requirements. Get started today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BOL. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BOL.